listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Tuesday, my listeners. Glad to see that you're back. We got some things that we need to discuss today. Only great things. October is the month of recognizing, you know, Domestic Violence Month and people that have gone through trauma through domestic violence relationships. And it's hard for a lot of people to move forward, you know, in new relationships, could be a marriage possibly, but it's kind of hard sometimes when a person has been a victim of this torment of a broken and torn other half that they completely have no control over. It's past situations that they were in. And sometimes it's just about moving on, you know, and sometimes people don't know how to move on collectively. They want to make it violent. They want to make a scene. And sometimes that does not add up to make sense, you know, especially with today's laws and how that could apply to the person that is the perpetrator in this type of situation. I was speaking with someone in regards to a domestic violence issue that stemmed from the wife having an affair. You might know this gentleman. His name is Michael Jace. He used to be an actor on The Shield as a police detective and very great actor, I might say. But his wife, she basically, you know, she wanted a divorce, and he became upset, and, you know, things got out of hand. They have two small children, and at the time of the incident, the son is witnessing this very brutal event take place. The daughter is in the house screaming and crying her eyes out, and he actually, you know, shoots the wife in front of the son, makes derogatory statements to her. Her name is April Jace, so we will recognize her as being a domestic violence victim of a heinous crime. And, you know, they try to justify his frame of mind at the time of the murder, and things just don't pan out that way. You know, you can't go back and change it after it's done. You know, I blew her brains out. I'm sorry that I did it. Now, how do I pick up the brain matter and put it back in her head? And, you know, we can move on from our domestic issue, you know, or toxic situation. There's all types of toxic situations out here today. And in our recognition for, you know, Domestic Violence Month and acknowledging the victims and the survivors of these acts, you know, I think it's very important for people to have an understanding of where they are in their relationship. And, you know, like previous situations that happened on the show, Joe being Joe and wife 2 and 5, you know, that was a totally domestic situation that should have never, ever happened. So by all means, if you can stay away from situations of domestic violence, at all costs, it's better to stay away from it. Now, Michael Jace has, you know, he's gotten a life sentence, pretty much. There's no justification on killing your wife because she was wanting a divorce. And he made allegations that she wanted the divorce because she was cheating. So, you know, it happens in relationships, infidelities. You got to know how to resolve them as being mature adults. And sometimes it's not so easy. But there was another lady, her name is Karina Smith. In this situation, she was the perpetrator and her husband was the victim. So this domestic violence act can go either way. So I don't want to shell out, well, it could be the husband, you know, because he's bigger, he's stronger. So people think, okay, He's the guy that did it. He needs to go to jail. He beat her to a pulp. In this particular situation, Karina Smith, and I'd like to thank her family member for sharing this with us, she actually murdered her husband with boiling water and sugar. Now, that sounds like an old school remedy from, like, what's his name? Al Green, when he got scalded with the boiling water, or was it the grits or something like that? You know, that type of old time situation of knowing, okay, I know what's going to kill him and I'm going to kill him dead. And it's because she read text messages that were misinterpreted. Mind you, Karina Smith is 59 years old and her husband at the time was 81. Michael Baines is his name. So we'd like to celebrate him as a domestic violence victim. You know, he tried to alleviate the situation and leave. So you got this 59-year-old woman married to an 81-year-old man who's texting or sexting, we will never know, another young lady, in which Karina Smith read those messages and said, hey, buddy, I'm your wife and you're being disrespectful. So in the middle of the night, she basically used boiling water and sugar to like finish him off at 81. Plus, she had some other pleas in between. You know, her daughter had claimed that the husband was sexually assaulting her, and, you know, the daughter and the son at some point, and the son actually committed suicide, but there's no, you know, police statements in regards to him ever sexually attacking her daughter. So this could have all been a ploy, because one, daughter doesn't want to see mom go to prison. Two, mom is like, you know, this is what happened and I killed him and you have no right to legally lock me up. I was doing this in the defense of my adult daughter. So it's some questions behind that, maybe an appeal yet to come. But it's kind of strange that they would bring this up, you know, as soon as she finds text messages, it's misinterpreted. He's 81 year old. Yeah, he's 81 years old. How can he, well, you know, they have Viagra, but I'm just saying, how can he perform with another young lady? And it may have been sexting, but it still is not a good reason to kill your husband because he's sexting someone. You have the conversation, and if the conversation doesn't work, then you can easily go get a divorce and get rid of him. You know, domestic violence is very, very, very horrible today. It's toxic. So you got to know the do's and don'ts of that type of relationship. Married, boyfriend and girlfriend, however it may go. There's another lady. She killed her boyfriend. And this is out in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. She killed her boyfriend, Latasha Stoney, because he was actually cheating on her and he fathered two children while they were in a relationship. His name was Stanley Cooksey, and I thank his family members for sending over the information in regards to his domestic violence story. And it was basically, he loved, you know, Latasha, but at the end of the day, he didn't want to walk away because he knew it would become violent. And I met a guy today, by the way, I'll pause right there, but I met a guy today that has a similar story to this one. He may call in, may not call in, we'll see what happens. But back to Latasha Stoney, she basically, she shot him to death because she wasn't willing to accept the fact that we've been together for many years. And when I tell you many years, I'm talking 26 years, 26 years. And she found out that he was cheating via a text message from the young lady that he has the two children with. So this was very, very, I understand, because anybody can really be upset about something like this. It's hard to swallow when you find out the man that you've been with, not that he even married you, but you were just with him. Okay. So he may have interpreted this relationship in another manner of, we're friends. I have a liking for her, but I'm not in love with her. So 26 years in this relationship, and basically, if you do the math, she was 46 and he was 50. In 26 years, that means she was with this man since she was 20 years old. So she lost her whole entire youth with this man. That's how the mind plays tricks on you. Like, I gave him 26 years of my life, and now he turns around and fathers two babies with a 24-year-old woman who's nearly half my age. And I must mean nothing to him. So it's like he lived a double life, kind of. You know, I'm not going to take sides in this because that would be very wrong. But it seems like he lived a double life of, you know, I'm here with you and I'm here with my other family type of thing. But our condolences go out to his family, because that was a very bad situation to be in after, you know, 26 years of just courting, as people would say, courting each other. So that was a very, very, very bad situation for someone to be in, you know, living that double life. So I say this to the men that are living that double life. Please think twice before you decide to cross that road, because the mental state that you choose to put someone in, and this goes for females as well, can be very dangerous to yourself and to that other person, because it could be a murder-suicide. It just may not be just the murder. So think about, or it could be attempted murder. Think about what you're doing before you do it, because roads like that, it ends up with trauma. So think twice about getting into, you know, outside relationships. You know, if you want an outside relationship, try something new with your spouse. Try, you know, going on a date for the first time again. Try doing what you did at the beginning so you can help alleviate the domestic violence situation. Another family member emailed me. This is in reference to Rachel DiClemente in New Jersey. Her husband, Robert DiClemente, he actually killed her. He killed her. And the reasons why he killed her, now hear this. He killed his wife because she cheated on him with someone from Applebee's. Mind you, the husband was a six-figure guy. It only makes you think, okay, why was she cheating on someone that works very hard? You know, nice-looking guy, physically fit. Why is she cheating on you with a waiter from Applebee's? Well, it was something that happened. And, you know, sometimes, you know, people want to be honest in their marriage and say, listen, hey, this is what I did. I'm sorry that I did it. I got to come clean with it. She confessed to her husband and said, listen, I can't live with this secret anymore. I have to tell you that I had an affair. I was getting takeout from Applebee's. The waiter was a nice guy. He showed me a little attention, the attention that you were not giving me. And I kind of went on a date and my panties kind of fell down. It was that kind of, you know, explanation of what happened. So her husband, Robert, didn't take it at ease. He was blown away to pieces. Because come to find out, the gentleman worked to them. So it was really hurtful. Listen, our caller is on, Big Mo. Let's get him on the phone. Hey, Big Mo, how are you today?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm fine, thank you. I was just talking about your story previously, Big Mo. I wanted to ask you a question. Because you're a man that has endured domestic violence, not you being the perpetrator, but you being the victim. I wanted to ask you, is it true that you are a true victim in this particular situation that you have going on?
Sure enough.
So have you tried to leave this relationship that you're in?
Yeah, it's a complicated situation, but it was basically ending. It's, you know, children involved, so it was kind of, it's hard, but accusations was made when the things didn't go that way, and I found myself in a situation where I'm fighting for basically my freedom. It's simple. That's how it is.
So you try to leave her, and she says, hold on, you're not leaving me. If you leave, you're going to jail.
No, it wasn't like that. It was basically, it's a marriage. I'm in a marriage, and like I said, the kids involved. And it was deteriorating, and it was basically, I stated I was leaving, so. She already knew that, and basically things went south from there, and charges were filed, frivolous charges, may I add.
And all you really wanted to do was just leave so you wouldn't, like, get into a domestic situation.
Yeah, because Oregon is not really my thing. It's you know, it's stressful. So I'd rather leave than argue. Now, when you leave, it creates another situation because the female think you with another female. So now they enrage, they search and call and stuff like that.
So are you guys illegally married?
Well, I'm not going to go into all that detail right there, but you know, that was the situation I was calling in for to tell you female are abusers, very abusers.
Well, let me ask you, if you had a word of wisdom to give someone out there listening, what would you say to them about staying away from toxic situations?
I mean, it's hard. It's hard because you don't realize until something detrimental happens. Then you look back on the situation. See, there were some signs, but you didn't really pick up on them. So obviously, I can't really say or tell. But we all know how scorned females are. So you know, when you score, you they out for revenge, no matter who's involved. And this my situation is sad because it's a kid involved. That's sad.
Right. So, Big Mo, I'd like to thank you for taking out the time to come on today. Thanks for calling in, and our sympathy is with you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye. Wow, so as you can hear, it's kind of tough for him. His name is Big Mo. I actually spoke with him earlier today. And it was kind of heartbreaking because a lot of things he didn't want to say on the air that him and I discussed. And basically, all he wants to do is just end things. He wants to be there for his child. You know, he doesn't want to fight with her. But it's basically, you know, guess what? If you're leaving, you're going to die leaving me. You're not going to be at peace. You're never going to be happy. And sometimes women believe that there are other women in the picture when really, maybe the guy just wants a peace of mind. Maybe he just wants peace and quiet for once. And it could be the other way around as well. It could be the woman just wants a peace of mind because I've heard a story of a woman wanting a peace of mind, feeling like she was on stroke level from the stress of the toxic marriage she was in and how she felt on edge of maybe committing murder. And, you know, those kind of stories you really can't share with me because of my job. I can't have knowledge of a crime. So it was kind of hard for me hearing that and her tuning out to something else. But Big Mo is a guy that's hurting right now. He has an upcoming court date. He's facing very serious charges for something that he did not do. But the retaliation of a scorned person, it runs deep. You know, it runs through the veins. And these type of situations are what we are discussing today in recognition of Domestic Violence Month. This is an ongoing situation, not only for Big Mo, but as you can hear, you know, he didn't want to say certain things because he's afraid she may be listening. And guess what? If she's listening, she may try something else out of retaliation. She may say he did something else to her that he, in fact, did not do. I mean, the guy, when I spoke to him, he was scared out of his mind. He's not a criminal. He's never been arrested. And now he's going through something, all because he wanted to leave the relationship. And, you know, it's very sad that people have to use the legal system as a shield of fraud, I must say, to protect themselves. And they feel like, you know, I got the law on the side of myself and everybody else that's standing behind me because I'm a female, he's bigger than me, and yes, I'm afraid for my life. And then they play the restraining order game. And then once they realize, I really love him and I want him back, or he realizes, I really love her, I want her back, then they want to go drop the charges and they want it to be, you know, walking down a rainbow road again. When in fact, they, you know, people don't realize you have to resolve your issues at hand before you decide to go back down that rainbow road. And you need to discuss them as adults without filing illegal charges, making up stories, playing the victim. In fact, some people are really truly the victim. Like Big Mo, he was the victim here. You know, here it is, which he didn't want to disclose. You know, she was actually beating on him. You know, some people do not believe that a woman 5'4" and a half can really beat on a guy such as Big Mo, who's 6'6", 295 pounds. They would look at this guy and say, he's the perpetrator. There's no way in the world that he could be the victim. And this is very, very sad. There are men out here today who are true victims of domestic violence. And people just think, you know, domestic violence surrounds, you know, because he smacked me or he punched me or he knocked my tooth out. No, it surrounds verbal abuse as well. Verbal abuse runs deep. And it can be very toxic when you're calling names, you're bringing up the other person's bad behaviors and you're making them see all of their faults. This can be very damaging to someone that does not have tough skin. So I've always said to my listeners, be mindful of your words because words hurt. I know you like to be brutally honest at times, but these type of brutally honest comments can lead into a domestic violence situation, especially if someone has committed the acts of infidelity in the relationship, be it married, be it single, be it co-partnering, be it co-parenting. Any one of these specific scenarios can lead to a bad road. And hopefully you heard it, you know, with your own ears from Big Mo that, you know, he's hurting on the inside. He has a child involved. And that's another thing. When you have children involved and they have to witness this abuse, like his kid is sitting by witnessing the mother abuse him mentally, verbally, and physically. So everything that she actually drew up charges on him saying he did to her, she actually did it to him. And she turned the tables to make it work for her. And now a man who's never been incarcerated before is going through the judicial system. And domestic violence today is taken very, very seriously. And if you don't have enough to back you up as far as evidence and proof, then you are in a very bad situation, because they're going to look at you and they're going to pass judgment on you as being the perpetrator. If you are a man that is of a certain height, a certain weight, and maybe of a certain color, sometimes it works for some people in a bad way. And I don't want to play the race card, but sometimes you don't know who's going to be judging you. So you have to present yourself well and make sure that you have enough evidence to suffice to show that, hey, listen, everything she said is not true. Videotape the situation. Cover yourself. So if there is something that's going on, you can say, hey, listen, I didn't do it. But my heart went out to Big Mo today, because just hearing the story for over an hour today over the phone really brought tears to my eyes, because I couldn't believe that this guy he's a battered husband. And if I was him, based off of what I know as of today, I would not have even came on the show to let my voice be heard. I would be in fear of my life, because this is a person who is an aggressor and she's not going to stop. So these are some things to think about. And, you know, back to Michael Jace, who killed his wife, April Jace, in front of their son. He blew away in cold murder in front of his son. His son was like 6 years old at the time. I mean, very, very sad for this kid to witness this act of violence. No kid deserves this, to see their dad killing their mom or the mom killing the dad. And we're going to do our part as far as, you know, recognizing domestic violence and stories that family members send in that they want to be heard. Because it's like you get 5 minutes of fame in the news, they tell the story, and then they're on to the next murder, on to the next story, on to the next celebrity. So everything gets put to the wayside and they get forgotten about. And people forget the trauma of other families that has been caused. And they like, oh, wow, I heard of that guy before he was on the Shield. But who is he? So people have a tendency to forget, you know, stories that get the 5 minutes of fame. You know, it's really sad, but we got so much more to talk about. Let's take a commercial break and I'll be right back.
Are you looking forward to sell your house in Philadelphia at a fair price, but are just not patient enough to go through the long, delirious process of enlisting your house in the market? Well, look no further, because GBuys Philly has got your back. You can sell house in Philadelphia without going through the trouble of navigating complex sales procedures. We specialize in helping property owners just like yourself in all sorts of burdensome situations. We pay a fair cash price and save you all the stress and inconveniences of damages or repairs. We will buy your home fast, easy, and convenient. No commission to realtors, no home inspections. Cash deal equals no mortgages. Property as is, no repairs. 100% fair offer guaranteed. Sell your house fast for cash in Philadelphia. So what are you waiting for? Just contact us now at www.gbuysphilly.com. Experience, honesty, and integrity guaranteed. Remember, GBuys Philly.
Hey guys, glad you're still on. Another heartbreaking story that I've been talking about, but just briefly, because I couldn't really get too much into it until I got all of the details to share with you guys. there was a young lady by the name of Tyrita Julius. She lived in Linden, New Jersey. She had a girlfriend, and we just spoke about, you know, different types of relationships and how things could go bad. She had a girlfriend that was also from New Jersey, Jennifer Sweeney from Tinton Falls, New Jersey. You know, Tyrita was a very, very loving, caring person. You know, there were some things in that relationship that should have red flagged Tyrita of her girlfriend, you know, like, maybe she's not wrapped too tight. Something's wrong here. But Tyrita's family member wanted me to put this out there that, you know, when you're in a relationship that is of the same sex, especially, you know, females, things become real emotional. And you can't control your emotions because by nature, women are very emotional creatures. So she wanted me to put that out there, you know, to let people know that same-sex relationships are very emotional. And I thank you for that, family member. She's actually on the line listening in today. The twist to this story is Jennifer Sweeney actually gets an old friend from high school, Andre Harris, also in New Jersey. He was a motorcycle rider with the Rough Riders, something like that. I actually spoke to someone, a young lady from his group of riders, that had a lot to say about him too, but we'll park it for a second. But Andre Harris actually shot Tyrita Julius in her back and in her head. I believe it was 8 times, maybe like 6 to 8 times in her car while she was sitting in her car. And he did this on the strength of her girlfriend, Jennifer, saying, listen, she gotta go. I believe she's cheating on me. I love her so much. I can't let her go. I don't want to see her with no one else. And by the way, this is all facts from the family member sent me a copy of what happened during the trial. So, you know, this incident was back in 2016, and now justice is finally getting served. But Andre Harris, the young man that is friends with Jennifer Sweeney, the perpetrator, he actually participated in this heinous crime because he was really good friends with Jennifer. He believed that Tyrita was playing her out because he was riding with the Rough Riders and Tyrita was hanging out and she wasn't as, you know, co-sexual as she should have been. I guess that's the right word to say. Because she was also interacting with men on a different level. And Jennifer got word of, listen, my girlfriend that I love is actually cheating on me with a man. And this is what sparked this craziness of violence between them, you know. But the twisted part is Jennifer says, after she gets shot, after Tyrita gets shot, she says, I want to be there for you. I want to take care of you. I can't believe who shot you. Don't go to your home. Stay with me so I can help you get better. So Tyrita's like, okay, because she has no reason to believe that her girlfriend slash lover would ever attempt such a heinous act, because I felt like in my mind, she knew her, but she didn't know as well as she should have known her. And she comforts her, takes her in, She has Tyrita at Andre Harris's house. Come on, we're going to hang out with Andre because he's my very best friend. And Andre says, no problem. You guys can hang out at my house. You know, I appreciate the company. Andre Harris actually is now serving 16 years. He only cut a deal for 16 years. And I know this is kind of hard to swallow, but he cut a deal for 16 years for now, not attempted murder, but for the murder, the participation in the actual murder. So Tyrita actually survives the gunshots. She survives. She's a little messed up, but she survives. Jennifer says, I'm going to take care of you. Jennifer strangles her with a telephone wire. She strangles her, officially kills her at this point. Tyrita is now dead. She kills her. Andre is his house. Andre says, wait a minute, you can't go to jail for this. I got a plan. Since I shot her 6 to 8 times and it didn't kill her at my house, we'll bury her in the backyard. They bury Tyrita Julius in the backyard of Andre Harris's home. And had it not been for her mom saying, listen, when she was reported missing, by the way, she was with these two friends of hers. The mother never acknowledged her as Jennifer Sweeney, the girlfriend. She acknowledged her as a friend and Andre Harris as a friend. And that is how they were able to find out that Tyrita Julius had been murdered. She had been buried in the backyard of Andre Harris's home. And he only got 16 years for shooting her, the alleged murder that foiled, and the actual murder that he actually, listen, I'm going to bury the body. I'm going to help you out. He gets cut a deal for 16 years. And this is an act of domestic violence as well. And he participated in the crime. So it doesn't matter your walks of life or where you're from. You have to be surrounded by people that you can really, really trust to know. You know, now Andre Harris is like, oh, you know, Jennifer was always weird and quirky. She gave me like the chills. But he participated in a murder. Like, they murdered this girl after shooting her numerous times and she survived it. You know, she trusted Jennifer with her life, basically. And this is how this ended up happening and going down the wrong road. Another gentleman, his name is, I really don't want to say his name, because it's really bad, but the family member wants me to mention it, so I will. Professional boxer, Rodriguez Ortiz, and his wife, he was a married man at the time. He had a girlfriend, a side chick. These athletes, you know how it goes. They always got to have something on the side. This is just how it works out today. He found out, you know, the girlfriend says, come on over. I need to talk to you. And he was like, okay, let's meet up. He meets up with her and he actually had a conversation as an adult with her. And she says, by the way, I'm pregnant. And he says immediately, you can't have this baby. So throughout this process, it's like he was planning to get rid of her anyway, because he injected her at the same time of her saying I'm pregnant with a syringe filled with fentanyl. And instantly she dropped dead, her and the baby. All because he didn't want his wife to find out. Well, Mr. Ortiz, I think your wife knows now. And, you know, it's a sad situation. That's why it's good, you know, just to stay with who you're with and do the right thing. You don't want to be in that relationship anymore. Just end it. But he got to the point where, you know, he lost it. If my wife finds out, I'm dead meat. So he took the chance in, you know, doing this heinous crime to this woman that he was involved with. And then, you know, disposing of the body. You know, so this is really, really not good as an athlete to conduct these types of behaviors of domestic violence. Because one, I'm quite sure he read the handbook, you know, not to participate in any type of domestic violence. But I will sum that up. And I will also let you guys in on a little something as well. I was a victim of domestic violence. And I would say this much. This was prior to my new marriage, which I'm so thankful for the great husband that I have. He's a fabulous guy. Prior to this marriage, I did not want to be committed because I had gotten a divorce a few years earlier. And the gentleman that I was courting with wanted something more than I could give. And I was accused of many things legally on paper. And I basically had to fight to keep my job, custody of my daughter. I had to fight. And, you know, all I wanted to do was just be friends. I wasn't looking for anything serious. I just wanted to be friends. And it so happens this gentleman didn't know how to take no for an answer. So he makes up a story and he said, I burglarized his home, amongst other things that he insinuated. And with my job, you can't have any domestic violence, can't have any restraining orders. You can't have any of that. So I was faced with a really heartbreaking situation because this is not someone that I just met yesterday. I knew this individual for about 20 years, just as a platonic friend. And for this individual to make up a lie on me and me having to fight for my life and my job and for my well-being, I was caught in a very bad situation. But thank goodness, the judge read through, you know, the storm of lies and the restraining order was dismissed. And the burglary charge was thrown out. So I'm telling you today, people, be very careful of people even that you know, because you don't know what could signal them to snapping. And some people in their mind, they want to believe that you like them the way that they like you. And that is sometimes not the case. And unfortunately, this situation that I was in, so I can relate to the victims of the actual perpetrators, I can relate to their story when, especially like Big Moses, all I'm trying to do is just leave. And all I was trying to do was just be a friend. So I can relate to stories such as these on the other side of the fence when you just don't want to be involved in a toxic situation because you just want out. You know, I had a lady send me an email in regards to her husband's wandering eye and how it makes her snap and become another person. I'm not a psychologist. a practice that I, you know, am involved in as a profession. But what I would say is, if your husband has a wandering eye, and every time he sees a female that is maybe of his liking walk past, and he has to basically take his eyeballs and roll them around from here to there, and he's not paying attention to you, maybe you need to revisit your marriage and find out what's making him, you know, have eyeballs on someone else. Because wandering eyes can also cause problems, you know. And she basically wanted to know, you know, how should she react? Should I poke his eyes out? Should I spit at him? And my response to her was, these are acts of domestic violence that could lead you in jail, because your spit is considered a weapon, a deadly weapon, because they're not going to look at it as, oh, I just spit on him because he pissed me off. No, I used my spit as a weapon because I have, let's say, hepatitis. So you don't know what you may encounter from that one situation happening. So I wanted to let her know, because I know she's listening in on the show today. If you have to deal with a man with a wandering eye, looking for some attention, because he may be an attention seeker at the end of the day. And that's not a good situation either. If he's an attention seeker, leave him alone. Let him go seek his attention, because your domestic violence charges, if you're found guilty of domestic violence in the United States of America, you will be held at a highable, you know, a very bad, let me say this, a very bad situation. I don't want to brag on it, on how bad it'll be, but it will be like someone set your body on fire. Because with that type of charge, you can't get a job, because they're going to look at you like you may snap and blow the building up. You may snap and want to kill everybody that's working. So you got to think about the unforeseen of what could happen once you snap from him with his wandering eyeballs. You know, like Joe being Joe, your husband is being Joe right now. And you need to advise him about Wife 215 and their situation with Joe being Joe, because those type of situations of guys being a little too friendly can lead the wife into a very bad predicament. So that's what I wanted to tell the young lady that wants to poke out her husband's eyeballs and spit on him and do all this crazy stuff, because at the end of the day, it's definitely not worth it. I want to thank you all for listening in today. I have next week a gentleman that wants to come on. He wants to talk about the things that he's been through. He's from Philadelphia, and the trauma, his life being, you know, a good standard adult today, doing what he has to do, survival, raising his kids, how a lot of his acts led him up to being in prison, and now how he's living his life righteously, and he doesn't want any problems from anybody. So we'll have him on the show next week to hear his story. And thank you all for joining in. See you next week. Same bat time, same bat place. Good night.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.